listeners.
Blog Talk Radio.
Controversial topics that you want to know. It's been a little while since we've been back, and I do apologize about how long it's been, but it is your full cast today. I am, of course, Topher, your effervescent host, and I have with me Christian and Chris Burson. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing awesome. Happy to be back. How's it over in Illinois, Mr. Burson?
This morning was really, really bad thunderstorms and hail and high winds. But I'm nice and cozy indoors, and I'm ready for another episode of No Rules, Just Mics with all our rule breakers.
All right.
I'm excited. It's been a while. Let's not do that. We'll do a quick little serious thing, and then we'll kind of get into our fun and normal routine. Real quick, we have Ryan Lill, who is hanging on the line, who's going to be with us in just a few minutes. I'm very excited to have him on. His new single, Kerosene, just dropped April 1st, so we're going to get to him in just a few minutes. So my statement is more of an apology, if you will. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, I made a Facebook statement earlier last week that I was completely out of context, and I do want to apologize about that. Things have just been kind of really crazy at my regular 9-to-5 job. Well, 7:30 to 6:30 job. It's just been really tough. And then with Blog Talk going down, and it's just been. I've just kind of been in a not good place. So I really do want to apologize that we haven't been live and we haven't been with you guys. And then when Blog Talk went down, I was just furious. So I do want to apologize about that. But you guys know you can always find us on our website, which is myuncensoredradio.com. You can find us through our iTunes podcast. Just search No Rules, Just Mics. And you can find all of the all of our past shows, and I know Chris Burson's been updating as often as he can. So that's my statement. That's my spiel. Chris Burson, you said you had something to say also.
Mine can wait till after we do our weekend rundown and lowdown.
Okay. Well, let's do that then. Holy City Center, are you ready?
I am always ready.
Bring it.
Oh, wait, I'm not ready. No, I'm just kidding. Big weekend, as usual, here in Charleston. A lot of big events. Family Circle Cup, which is an annual women's tennis tournament, is already underway, continues, and actually finishes up this weekend. It'll be interesting to see how many people go out this weekend, because both Serena and Venus Williams have lost and are out already, and obviously those are the biggest names in women's tennis. So it'll be interesting to see how the crowds react, but that will be going on the rest of the weekend. Of course, Saturday is the Cooper River Bridge Run, the big bridge here in Charleston, for those who don't know. It's a huge event. It's actually one of the biggest racing events in the country as far as the amount of people who participate, which shocked me when I learned that a year or so ago. It's up there in the amount of participants. And a lot of businesses open early for mimosas and brunches, and it's a whole party downtown pretty much all day. Which is pretty cool. Also this weekend is the Flower Town Festival out in Somerville. 3 days of just vendors and flowers and music and food and all sorts of stuff. So lots of big things going on as far as that. typical, you know, concerts and art and all that good stuff's going on this weekend as well. A couple things I want to highlight. Jam band Umphrey's McGee will be at the Performing Arts Center on Friday. So if you like that, that's definitely an event for you. And if you're more of a comedy person, it's a really big weekend, actually. Anthony Jeselnik, who had a TV show called The Jeselnik Offensive, he's a hilarious comedian. He's at the Music Hall tomorrow. I'm actually going to be there. So any Charlestonians who are listening, I will see you there. Todd Barry and other good comedians at Theater 99 at 10 p.m. that same night. And then W. Kamal Bell, who had a TV show called Totally Biased, he will be at Theater 99 on Saturday at 10. From there, a couple cool events on Sunday, the Low Country Cajun Festival. I've been to that. I think Topher, I think I may have seen you at one a few years back. I could be mistaken. You and Matt, I think we went. We had like a shrimp etouffee and some. I thought so.
It was
two or three years ago now. It was a while, but it's a fun event, right? A lot of good Cajun food, spend the day outside. We had a blast doing that. And then also there's a, if you have a family, this is a cool event, the Honey and Bee Expo. You get to try local honey. There's a documentary showing at Cinnabar during the event. So definitely a fun little family event. And, I mean, there's just so much I could go on the rest of the show just on this weekend alone, but no need to do that. You can see it all on holycitycenter.com/event. All the good stuff is there, and that's what's going on in Charleston this weekend.
Awesome. I'm going to try to make out for, I'd like to do the Cajun Festival, but I think it's going to be raining on Sunday, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to make that.
If it's raining, it'll be a little tough because it's all outdoors.
Yeah. You know, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think we went 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And it was fine, and then it started to rain at that point because I remember running to my car
exactly
in the rain.
Right. That's exactly right.
And it was cold. It was awful.
Well, you know what?
I might. Good.
With that said, on Sunday, if it rains, I know this applies to you and Matthew. It's going to be another Sunday fun day with a PH at the Poorhouse. They're going to have that fish cover band, Runaway Gin, playing on the deck. So if it's raining, you can get some cover and go do that at the Poorhouse. They'll also have Roadie Rolls, the food truck there, so you can get some good eats while you're hanging out. So I know that you and Matthew really like fish, so that's something you guys could do on Sunday if it rains.
We do, and it's free, right? There's no cover?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no cover or anything.
Sweet. So I know what I'm going to be doing this weekend. So last weekend, we went on Matt's parents' boat. It was so nice. Everybody was like, oh, my God, it was cloudy. It was awful, blah, blah, blah. It was a little overcast, a little foggy, but I tell you, we went all the way out around the Charleston Harbor. We went through, and I actually got to, I'm not going to say pilot a boat, but I got to captain a boat.
Fancy pants.
I was in charge of the steering wheel and the joystick. I'm very good with joystick. I got in charge of the steering wheel and the joystick. But, no pun intended. Well, a little bit. but
I don't get it.
Really,
you
don't
have to explain it to me.
After the show.
In detail. Okay.
Oh, in detail? Really? Is there a statement you have to make?
Oh, I don't know. I'm assuming this was just a normal little pun. I didn't think it was anything inappropriate. I mean, I never get your puns, Topher.
I thought he was talking about video games.
Video
games?
Right.
Is that the joystick?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Have you guys
like
seen those shirts? Have you guys seen those shirts that says, "Sorry, chicks, I play with joysticks"?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll have to show you guys.
That's what she said.
That is what she said.
Nice.
But it was nice. We went around the Charleston Harbor and then we docked over at Arby's out in Shem Creek and we ate at Arby's. We had some really good food. And then we
not to be confused
back.
With Arby's.
No, not the same restaurant. Arby's. The actual Shem Creek restaurant, the letter R and then the letter B. And
yes, I got to make that clear for non-Charlestonians, because otherwise they'd be very confused hearing you had a delicious dinner at Arby's.
Well, the fact that I pulled up, that I docked our boat in front of an Arby's, seems a little ridiculous.
Hey, not from Charleston, you might not know. Yeah, worldwide audience here.
That's right. That's right. We are the low country, but we're not all underwater yet. So that's what I'm doing this weekend. What are you guys doing this weekend?
As I mentioned, tomorrow night I'm going to go see Anthony Jeselnik at the Music Hall. Should be a lot of fun. He's hilarious. Saturday, I don't know for sure if I have plans or not, or Sunday, but I feel like there is something I'm supposed to be doing, and my girlfriend would be pissed at me for not remembering, but I'm sure she'll remind me.
Over and over again.
Yes. Because she's so lovely.
What about you, Burson? What are we doing?
That was almost a good save. Almost a good save. So this weekend, I'm actually going to be headed down to St. Louis to ref another soccer tournament, which is what I did last weekend. But in between that time, I actually went down to Southern Illinois and had a visit with our good friend Matt Davis, who, if you do not know who he is, he actually wrote the theme song, which I now have as my ringtone, which is amazing, by the way. He let me know that he's actually part of a new band called none other than Party Pants.
I like Party Pants. I like it.
So they don't have any shows. Wait, hold on. No, they do have a show now. June in Southern Illinois area, and they're going to be a rock punk cover band. So you're going to hear everything from REM all the way to Kesha, which is really, really, really weird to hear. So that was my this upcoming weekend. I just got back today, and then last weekend, and we've been off the air for 2 weeks now. So you may be asking yourself, well, Mr. Burson, how do you have so much free time on your hands? Well, I was forced into early retirement from the cellular industry. That is my big news. So I've got a little bit of free time on my hands, so I've been trying to do what I like to do rather than what the man had me doing.
Hell yeah, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so I've got a whole bunch of free time. So, yeah, that's my news.
Is this a good thing, not good thing?
So I talked a lot about retail shelf life, and I'm sure you can vouch for this with Christian. I've been in cellular and more, I've been in retail for a long time, but specifically I was in cellular for about 7 years, and it was probably about 2 years ago when I realized that there's a shelf life that you have when you work in retail. You can only put up with so much of the general public, and working for a company that maybe you don't necessarily agree with their views or their beliefs, but you still got to do it because it's your job, so...
Right.
This is a good thing. It's a blessing in disguise. This was all set into motion a couple weeks ago before our last show, and I kind of knew it was coming, and it's like when your parents are fighting, and you know they're going to get a divorce, but they're still together, but it's still shocking in the end when they get a divorce. So
yeah.
I knew it was coming. I knew she had it out for me, my boss. I knew she had it out for me, so... I see it as a blessing in disguise. That way I can focus more on what I actually graduated from college with, which would be aviation flight management. So I'm trying to, if there's anybody out there that has a contact in the aviation industry, please let me know. I'm trying to get my foot in the door to do what I like to do rather than what I don't like to do. Oh, hey, I got one already.
I know somebody. It's actually... Katrina Johnson, who is part of the Uncensored Radio crew. She does the Guilty Pleasure Show. I'll send her a text message because she flies all over the place with a bunch of people. So I'm pretty sure she has some connections that can give us a little bit of insight.
Absolutely.
Well, sweet. Excellent.
Yep.
Well,
so I've got a lot of free time on my hands.
Well, when are you coming to Charleston?
You want to pay for my plane ticket?
What do you mean pay? You just told us you could fly yourself here.
Well, I don't own my own aircraft.
Oh, sorry, poor guy. Wow.
I mean, it's not like I own my own boat or anything.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Go for it. Do you borrow your plane since you have a boat, apparently?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, shooting along. Real quick, before we get to our amazing guest host, I want to do a big no rule congratulations to Christian for his two wins for Holy City Center for Best Local Interest Blog and Best Local Twitter Feed. That is that is huge. That is huge. And my applause is delayed. Ah, there it is.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
We're definitely going to have to talk about that. But I want to bring on somebody who I've considered a good friend yet I have not met yet. He's kind of like the Charlie's Angels for me. We talk all the time. I promote the hell out of his music because I think he's absolutely brilliant. I have both of his songs coming out in Kerosene, which you can get on any music device where you can actually pay for your music. I don't want you stealing his music, but if you can pay for his music, you can get it on there. CDBaby.com, you can get it on Spotify, you can get it on iTunes. I'm pretty sure people who have Android can download music. I don't know how they do that, but I'm pretty sure Android people can download the music as well.
It's Google Play.
And gentlemen,
yes,
and, yeah, and Charleston, we have Ryan Little. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. I'm glad you came on the show. I know it was a little bit last minute, but I'm really glad that you're here. Really glad you're here.
Well, thank you. I had absolutely nothing to do tonight.
Well, good. I know you were saying that you had a couple of interviews and things that kind of came up recently, and your Twitter feed has just been kind of blowing up. What's been going on?
Oh, God, Twitter. I mean, I don't know. It's been kind of crazy. I haven't really stopped to process everything yet. It's been back-to-back interview with The Examiner and all these LGBT blogs all over the web. I'm not sure how they've heard about me, but it's kind of fucking awesome. So I just kind of go with it. And right after I did my interview with The Examiner, it's a guy named Samuel Laura, if you haven't looked him up. He's fantastic, not to mention he's super attractive, which does not help when you're in an interview with him. But I did the interview, and I don't know, like a few days later, my Twitter started blowing up, and I'm getting tweets from people from, like, different countries, which I can't read their tweets, so I'm trying to, like, Google Translate them, which makes them twice as confusing, I think. I got the movie offer to do a song. The coming out song is going to be used in a movie called Pretty Boy, which just started filming in L.A., in California.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's been, like I said, it's been kind of crazy. I was going to start trying to, you know, set up a tour for the summer and get things going really well, but I've had a lot of invites from different Pride festivals all over the United States, so I'm probably just going to use the Pride festivals and make them my little tour, you know?
That's fantastic.
Very nice.
You're doing New York, aren't you?
Yes. Here's what's crazy about that. I got an offer, and their Pride is, like, 4 days long, so they go, like, all out. I mean, like, those gays don't stop. Like, they go all the time. So I got offered to play, and then I found out that the guy called me. He basically offered me a spot. He said, let me know when you're free. I told him, you let me know when y'all are free, and I am going to be there. I don't care what day it is. I don't care what time. So I got offered two slots, and one of the slots puts me on the exact stage that 4 hours before Lady Gaga will be on. So
I'm sitting
bricks, but it's been really crazy. I haven't had a chance to wrap my mind around everything. I've been trying to respond to everyone. It's been the emails have been kind of interesting this week, especially since the new blog came out and some of the reviews came out, and I mean, I know you guys follow my Twitter and stuff, and I follow y'all, but it's really difficult not to want to read my reviews, but I promised myself that I wouldn't do it until the entire album was done.
Right.
I refuse to read them. I don't want to know. I'll post them. I'll post the links that people send me, but I do not want to read them because I had this strange feeling that I'm very easily persuaded. I probably shouldn't have said it on the radio, but, I'm easily talked into things. So when someone says they hate it, like, I'm kind of like, oh, my heart's broken. I'm not going to write that song ever again. So I know, God, grow up. But, like, I'm trying to, you know, make it to the end of this album without anybody's influence being put into it whatsoever. And I don't know. It's been very strange. It's odd. I don't have a label. I don't have anybody really promoting me other than all these really awesome blogs. Like, I mean, After Elton has reached out to me. Like I said, The Examiner was probably the biggest one that I've done so far is The Examiner, you know, and it's been awesome. Like, I'm still in contact with him. He's actually trying to get me the opening spot for Tegan and Sarah here in Charleston coming up.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, I know. It's epic, and if I, you know, get to do really big things because of that, then I'm probably going to owe him so much big time. But word of mouth has really been, you know, spreading the word around. And, like, my music is on XM Radio. I don't know how that happened. I mean, I know that with BMI, they kind of push your music to every avenue and, you know, venue possible. So I knew that I was on college radio, and then I got a Snapchat from somebody that I was on their Pop 2K radio station on XM, and I was like, how the hell did that happen? But, you know, it is happening, so I kind of, like, shit my pants when that happened. But, you know, it's been cool. It's been really awesome.
And am I right that you're in talks of doing a music video for Coming Out?
I am. I'm having a hard time. I want to do Coming Out really, really badly, but I also have this music video playing in my mind for Kerosene, and I feel like I have to get it out before I can do anything with Coming Out. Like, I have to finish Kerosene. And Kerosene, like, I don't want to make it, like, you know, seem like I'm not promoting the Coming Out song because all my gays love it, which, you know, even my straights love it. My straights and my gays love it, but which is awesome. Like, power to all my straights. But, like, coming Out is definitely going to be, like, a social piece video.
Sure.
And I'm not sure if I want to release that first. Or if I want to do Kerosene, which is something that I guess, like, a song that people can, without hearing the music, they can look at the title and not be like, oh, it's a song by a gay guy. You know, like, I want it to be a song that everyone can look at first and be like, wow, he did this. And then I want to release Coming Out as, like, a big social piece. So I'm definitely in talks for the music video for Kerosene. We're hopefully starting shooting next month. I'm really stressed out about that because I have been in the gym, like, every day. And I hate the gym more than anything else in my life. But I was like, you know, the camera adds 20 pounds, and I've already got, like, a few extra of those on there, so I need to lose a few of those. But, I mean, yeah, Kerosene is probably going to be the first one, so just keep your eye out for that one. It's going to be a little raunchy, but...
I love Coming Out. I thought Coming Out was a great song. I can absolutely relate to it. I'm pretty sure every LGBT, everybody in the LGBT community can kind of relate to that. But Kerosene was it was almost haunting, and it's my favorite song of yours. It's so good. So I'm glad to hear that you're thinking of Kerosene as your debut single, because I think that makes sense, and I think you can really kind of break ground and really kind of touch a wide variety of people with that song and with that music video. So I'm excited.
Well, thank you very much for that. Kerosene is it's very different than the kind of music I've always written. You know, everyone's always seen me as the acoustic. I told you guys the last time I was on that, like, you know, things were kind of changing and the sound was kind of going a certain direction, but. I didn't know I had, like, R&B and pop in me, but apparently I do, so we'll stick with it and see how it goes.
Wow. I like it. I do like it. That's awesome.
What's the plan? Are you going to keep releasing singles here and there, and then that, you know, that'll make the full album, or is it just going to be these two, and then the album will come out? I mean, what's your plan of attack right now?
Well, the plan of attack currently is to record my ass off until June and have it drop mid-June or, you know, early July. But people don't realize how much effort that takes. It's ridiculous how much you have to record and how much you have to mix and master and all these things. And it costs money, you know, like, this is all out of my own pocket. And I do have two other songs that are done, and I've been really, really thinking about releasing one more single before the album drops. Everyone keeps on asking, like, when's the next one coming out? When's the album coming out? And I thought about doing, like, you know, a single every 2 to 3 weeks and then just having it be the album once it's done. That way I can just do it over an elongated period of time. But I kind of want something solid and full that I can just, like, throw out to the world and be like, here, it's done. Like, eat it alive or, you know, burn it, whatever you decide to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So right now, I think I'm going to release one more single. I haven't released a date yet, but I'll go ahead and just tell you guys that it's probably going to be this month as well. My birthday is the 9th, and for some reason, I have this big issue in my life right now where I feel like I'm turning 25, and I need to accomplish something really big, really quickly. So I'm going to probably release another one close to my birthday, and
Sweet.
Then just float on until the album's done.
Can we get a name? Do you know the name of it?
Yes, you can. It's actually called Stay Young. It's definitely a song that I have been working on nonstop because I feel like it is just everything that's going on in my life right now, whether it's wanting to grow up mentally or stay young physically and mentally. So the song definitely touches on all of that. It's just a song about, like, you know, everyone battling with you and just trying to, you know, you want to persevere, you want to keep on going. Like, if you've given up, like, the actual words of the song are, if you've given up, you're not worth saving, you're afraid to face your demons once you've made them. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what the song entails, like being able to face your demons and move on.
And it would be appropriate. It would be appropriate to release it on your birthday as well. That makes a lot of sense. Stay young.
Yeah. I want to stay young so bad.
Sweetheart, it doesn't happen. Trust me, I've tried.
I know it doesn't. I can just already feel it in my body.
Seriously, you're 25.
I know. 25. 25 is like, you know, that's a long time in gay years.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for fucking reminding me.
Yeah, but you're also so young and attractive. You know, you've got a lot going for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I just wanted you to say it back to me.
So in the next 5 years, when you turn the ripe old age of 3, I can pick on you? Is that right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I already pick on myself for a lot of things, so why not?
Nice. So April Fool's just happened. Were you pranked, or did you do any kind of April Fool's gags or jokes on anybody?
I actually did do an April Fool's gag, and I don't think anybody's even noticed it yet. Like, I think it passed, and no one's even caught on. I read online that you can put clear nail polish on a bar of soap, and it makes it where, like, the soap won't lather when you're in the shower. And I left it in the upstairs bathroom at my mom's house for my little brother to use, and apparently he doesn't bathe because the soap is still sitting there. And I was so disappointed, and I don't want to say anything to anybody until the joke is done, you know? Like, I want him to realize, hey, this soap isn't working, so I can somehow magically appear and be like, bam, I did that to you.
Did you actually try it, like, after you put the polish on there to make sure it worked? Because maybe it just that, like, was a joke.
No, I probably should have. I mean, that probably wasn't online April Fool's yet, so I'm just the idiot who didn't catch on.
Well, I mean, have you seen him recently? Because he might be, like, nail polish shiny.
Yeah, I see him all the time. And, like, I mean, like, I'll go into the bathroom upstairs at my mom's house, and the soap is literally just still sitting there.
Oh.
And I'm like, there's no other body wash in the shower, so unless he's doing my whole, like, 3-in-1 shampoo stuff, I'm not sure what's going on.
Is he straight?
That's still undecided.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that answer.
Well, I mean, he's a youngin', and he's a very strange guy, but he's growing up to be a very funny person. I think in my family you kind of have to be a smartass to survive. So.
For sure. I can understand that. What about you, Christian? Have you April Fool's anybody, or were you gagged, or somebody play a joke on you?
Was I gagged?
Were you gagged? I was gagged.
Oh my God! Different gag. Wow.
I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
I did not pull any pranks. I couldn't even tell you the last time I pulled an April Fool's prank, and if I did pull any, they weren't very good. I can tell you that. Well, no, that's not true. I got tricked, but no one knew about it. Thankfully. I was reading this website that's in Charleston, and they've actually spread to, like, Myrtle Beach and a couple other places. It's called The Digital, and they just post, like, news. You know, they take links from websites, including mine, and they put it there, and it would, like, give you the headline and a little blurb, and then people will decide if they want to go read the whole news thing. But anyway, so they put up two stories, one of which was just, like, so blatantly clear that it was April Fool's that I was just like, okay, there's their April Fool's. So when I moved on to the rest of the articles, I wasn't expecting another April Fool's prank. And they had one that said Nikki Haley, our governor here, of course, was filming a reality TV show to document her life, of course, but, you know, as she gets ready for a re-election campaign. And I saw that. And while I was at work, and I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be such huge news. Wait till I get this on the blog. Oh, my God, it's going to blow up. And I had a meeting, and I left, you know, and I came back to it, and I'm like, I was so pumped during the meeting. I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to get back to my desk. And then I got back to my desk, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, something doesn't seem right with this. And, you know, before long, I realized, oh, well, that was clearly an April Fool's prank. And if I posted that, I would look like the biggest dumbass alive. So thankfully I did not get caught by anyone but myself, and then now just admitting it here. But could have been a lot worse.
Nice. That's awesome. What about you, Chris Burson?
No, I don't partake in April Fool's jokes because it can turn ugly pretty quick.
That's very true.
They
really
can. I sent a story, so go ahead.
Not a very good story. I wish there was. Like we did one year, and I don't. You might have been working with me, Christian.
Yeah.
Where we post-it noted an entire guy's car.
Oh yeah.
So it wasn't really a prank, but it was funny because his whole thing was, we're going to ban post-it notes. I hate post-it notes. I'm gonna make sure that everybody doesn't have post-it notes. And one day he went up to his car, and every single inch was covered in post-it notes.
It was awesome.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. I've been forbidden to play April Fool's jokes because Matthew and I were just dating probably about maybe 3 months. We got together in January. So January, February, March, April. So, yeah, about 3 months. And I'm working late at a no longer existing video store. And I call him. I didn't say anything. I called him. And he's like, hey, what's going on? I was like, I was kind of like very melancholy, kind of like nonchalant. And he was like, well, what's going on? I said, so my sister, who lives in Florida, got me this really awesome modeling job with Brooks Brothers, who I can model clothes and glasses and shoes and everything. It's a really good career for me. So I'm thinking about I'm thinking about going there. And of course, it's silent. And that's like, well, you know, I thought we had a good thing. You know, what's going on? And at this one, I was supposed to say April Fool's. But that didn't come out. What came out is, shit, I went too far. This is not a funny joke. He's not taking it. He's not laughing. What the hell do I do? So I go into panic mode. So I try to kind of backtrack a little bit. I was like, no, I'm having a really good time. I think you're great and everything. He's like, but you want to go to Florida. I'm like, oh, shit. Ultimately, I told him, I said, you know, the really, really awful thing about this is April Fool's. And he was silent. I literally had to say, hello. Like, there was no breathing. There was nothing. I was like, hello. He was like, I'm going to call you back. And he hung up the phone.
Ooh.
And I said,
ooh.
Shit. I lost him. It was stupid. Well, he calls me finally. I don't remember how long it was, but it was a long time. And I said, hey, I'm really, really sorry. It was an April Fool's joke. And it went too far. He was like, you're damn right it went too far. He was so mad. So to this day, I cannot play, not on anybody, not my mother, not the cat next door. I can't play an April Fool's joke on anybody because he'll never let me live that down. It was awful. I felt terrible. Terrible. They don't play April Fool's jokes on people. That's not.
Yeah,
probably safe that way.
That's what Burson was just talking about, just saying it can go bad, but you don't even realize, like, oh, this is just a harmless little prank, and it can turn on you.
Nope.
Yeah, like, in my head, I was like, so I'm going to say Brick Brothers, I'm going to send him to a modeling career, and he was going to say whatever, and I'm going to say April Fool's, and then we both would have laughed. Nobody laughed at all. We're still not laughing about this, by the way. You guys are, but we're still not laughing about this. Speaking of people who hate, you know, unexpected endings or surprises, so the whole How I Met Your Mother finale thing, did you guys watch it? Did you guys, were you guys a part of that? Christian, I know you said you liked the show. Okay, so is the backlash from the fans, is that an acceptable thing?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. People will always hate finales. It's rare that anybody likes a finale. I mean, Lost finale was panned by a lot of people. Sopranos, they were panned by a lot of people. Seinfeld, people hated that one. I mean, it's just, if people get emotionally invested in TV shows, and I don't know what people expect. I don't even really know what I expected from How I Met Your Mother, because I haven't really been super excited to watch it for the last 2 years, probably. I feel like it kind of jumped the shark, and I don't know. I think it ran its course. But I was, you know, I still found myself in the last episode getting into it, you know. People just want everything to be tied up perfectly and have a nice remembrance of the show. And, you know, I don't want to get too much into it. I know it's been almost a week since it aired, but it kind of had a twist of sorts. Some people had seen it coming, but the bottom line, without getting too much into it, it was just too rushed. They got to a place, and they rushed to it, and if they had spread it out over a couple episodes, it may have gone a little bit better. But I was talking to my brother about it, because he loved that show, and he actually introduced it to me, like, years ago. And he was saying, you know, whatever, finale or not, it was a great show for a few seasons, and had a lot of laughs, and, you know, who cares how the last episode went? And I was like, yeah, you're right. You know, like, they wrapped up, it's over, you know, and it was a lot of fun to watch in the process, so there's no use getting worked up over a finale, you know what I mean?
I can understand that. Ryan Will, did you watch it at all? Are you a How I Met Your Mother fan?
Oh, I'm actually not. I've actually never watched an episode. I mean, like, I'm probably going to be stoned for that as well, but, I mean, I don't know. I just can't get into shows like that, like, especially, like, super, super, super funny shows. Like, I just can't do it.
Why?
I don't know. Like, it's
funny,
like,
or?
I think when things are, like, scripted, you can kind of see where they're going when it comes to, like, comedy shows. Like, you know exactly what's going to happen. You know who's going to end up with who. And it's one of those things, like, it's like watching a romantic comedy and then watching it again and hoping that it's going to be different the second time. And it's not, you know?
I hear you.
No, you're
right.
And I think that's why a lot of people probably, you know, a lot of people like it, because they just zone out and they don't have to worry too much about it, which I get. But, yeah, that's a really good point, is that it's rare that they just shock you. Even with this show kind of shocking some people, it still was what you would have imagined it ending anyway.
Yeah.
The only
show that I can get into that's even remotely, like, has comedy in it is Two Broke Girls, and that's because every single thing she says is super sexual and really catty.
Yeah.
Like, she is me in girl form. Actually, she's kind of like boy form, so she's basically me as a gay man.
I will not lie. My girlfriend and I watch that show all the time. We love
it. It's hysterical. It's hard to hate.
It is.
I've
yeah,
never seen
it's
the show.
Very funny.
Oh, my God.
I've
it'll blow your
it.
Mind.
I love the, I don't remember, the brunette chick's name. I don't remember her name.
Kat Dennings.
Yes. She was in a movie called The House Bunny with Anna Faris, and it was just hysterical. And her character was just so funny. So I'm not surprised that she would be able, she'd be more mainstream. I just haven't gotten into it. I like Cougar Town. I'm addicted to Cougar Town.
I cannot say the same. Sorry, buddy.
What?
No, I'm like a teenage girl. I watch Pretty Little Liars. I watch Revenge. Because I secretly love the fact that this girl is, like, taking down people who are really high up in the, you know, in New York. I think that's freaking awesome. And I watch things like I Survived on Lifetime and things like that because I don't sleep at night.
Oh, my God. Really?
I do. I think I'm like a 16-year-old girl. I also fall asleep listening to Taylor Swift almost every night. So.
Oh, we have to talk about that off the air. Taylor Swift, really?
Okay,
really,
hey.
Of all people?
Listen, you can hate on a lot of things, but don't hate on my girl.
We'll have to throw out Britney Spears. We definitely have to throw out some Britney Spears.
What? Oh, see, here we go. Now, we need to talk about this off the air.
No, we need to talk about this right now.
Listen, all I'm saying is, I'm not even going to say it. I can't even say it. I will not diss Britney on a radio show. I won't do it. But I can say that when it comes to Taylor Swift and Britney Spears, I am a total Taylor Swift fan.
Now, Topher, you got to remember, there's a slight generational gap here because you're kind of old, so...
Britney was really popular. Britney was really popular when I was a kid. You know, like, I was born in the 80s, and I was born in, like, the last year of the 80s. But, Britney was huge. She was in my life every day. You know, she was all over TRL back in the day with her pigtails on, and now I'm gay, so, you know.
the point really was just to make fun of Topher.
I hate everybody on air except myself. Let me just put that out there. Oh, Chris Wilson has a good night again. Chris Wilson, I feel like
I'm modest.
What did I do?
Yeah,
you didn't do anything.
Quiet,
that's why you're saying
really just me.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. I mean, props to Britney. You got to give Britney props, though. Come on.
She is kind of amazing. Hello. I mean, the only person that's able to come back from a career that was that detrimental was Gloria Estefan, and that bitch had a bus accident. I'm sorry. You can't come back from shit like that. You can't. And she did a damn good job. I'm just saying.
So you're saying a bus accident is worse than a train wreck?
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
And Chris, you guys are on thin ice here. I'm just saying.
All I'm saying is that her hair grew back perfectly.
Yeah,
well,
true.
You know, when you shave your head in 2007, 2014, I hope your hair grows back. If not, you need to see a doctor and have some blood work done. I'm just saying. So we're going to skip past Britney Spears and How I Met Your Mother, and we're going to talk about the biggest thing to happen to South Carolina in a long time, probably since Boeing. BMW has Spartanburg in sight for the largest BMW manufacturing facility with a $1 billion investment. That's huge. That's huge. So my concern is twofold. One, we're going to get a lot of people coming to either Columbia area and Charleston area, and two, we don't have the infrastructure to handle these people because, one, we don't have the infrastructure to handle what we have already. So is this really going to be a good thing for South Carolina, or is this going to be kind of one of the things that kind of goes under the radar and not really a big thing like Boeing was?
It's funny that you said that, Topher. I don't know if you saw the same thing I saw today, but there was actually another article, and I'll pull it up as I'm talking here so I can reference it, but there was something I saw today talking about Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Beaufort areas are among the nation's most populous. And, yeah, if you're going to be adding a popular as far as people relocating there.
Right.
If you're going to add a BMW plant in Spartanburg, with that much of an investment, I mean, yeah, you're going to get people either transferring from other BMW places, new people moving to town for those jobs. Hopefully they'll give it to a lot of locals, but you know inevitably there's going to be people who move. So anyway, with a lot of parts of our state already being a top place to move to, the same article also mentioned that, it's fast growing, but they also don't really have the means, like you said, to match that. And that was kind of like what you just said. It's exceeding
right.
the area's natural growth rate. It's going to be overpopulated. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think, like I said, they're going to give it to more local people. And then hopefully that'll kind of alleviate the kind of stress that they could add to another portion of the state. Or maybe it'll bring people from Charleston, to Spartanburg or Columbia, to start moving people. So I'm, ever the optimist. I'm hoping everything will work out. But you're right. On the same day that I saw that article, you mentioned that. And it's definitely something to think about. I mean, that much money coming in, the investment, plus if you get new people here, then they're buying properties or, renting apartments and spending money on groceries and everything else, it'll help the economy.
Right.
I don't think, you know, Spartanburg's not exactly a Charleston. I don't think it's going to become a place that people flock to, you know, not being a beach community and things either. So
exactly.
I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be all right.
I'm a little concerned, and here's why. So when people say, oh, South Carolina is opening up a plant, they're not saying Spartanburg, they're saying South Carolina. What do people know about South Carolina?
Right.
It's either Myrtle Beach or Charleston. Most
right.
of Charleston, because Myrtle Beach is dirty and gross. Charleston is going to be, people are going to want to come to Charleston, and then either the husbands and wives or the mothers and fathers are going to say, all right, well, you know, we can buy a really nice house in the Charleston area just on the outskirts where it's relatively inexpensive, and then I can just stay in a hotel up there 5 days a week and then come down on the weekend. So we have families that are going to be moving down here, not just the employees of these people. And my guess is that people are already in line signing up to move to South Carolina for that particular reason. So they're going to want to be close to the water. They're going to want to have that kind of access. So when they're not working, they're right by the water. So I don't see Columbia as being kind of – I don't think they're going to be as affected as much as I think Charleston is going to be. And they might turn Myrtle Beach around. I seriously doubt that, but they might turn Myrtle Beach around. But I think everybody has the bullseye on Charleston because it is the largest growing city. We basically have everything. We have the beach. We have the history. We have the food. We've got it all. So I'm a little concerned because it literally takes me a good 5 minutes to get out of my subdivision, and it takes me a good 10 minutes to get to the interstate. And I'm not far away from the interstate.
How far away is Spartanburg? I don't even know the time distance. Do you guys
know? About 3 hours-ish.
Around 3 hours.
Do you think a lot of people will come live in Charleston to commute 3 hours, though?
If I had to decide
to
live between Spartanburg or Charleston, it would be Charleston for sure.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Spartanburg has, like, nothing.
True. That's true.
You know, in Somerville, I am about a half hour away from I-95. So literally, it's only 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours away. Like, if you live in Charleston, yeah, it's going to be a 3-hour drive for you. But if you live in Somerville, and now even Jedburgh's expanding, and that's another 15 minutes closer. So I see this area getting really, really big, and I see it getting big really, really fast. So I'm a little concerned.
I think when you have to wait in line
money,
for longer than, like, 20 minutes at a Starbucks, there's too many people living in your city.
I agree. So like, I got the gold card. Don't I get to skip all these poor people? Can I do that? I have a gold card. Hello? Gold card. And not only the gold card, I have the gold card app. Can you just, like, scan it from afar? And can I get a Venti non-fed upside-down skinny card on my data, please? Thank you.
So I had a chance to read the article and kind of dive in depth to it because I didn't know what was going on in the South Carolina area. BMW actually already has a plant in Spartanburg, which has 8,000 employees. So the idea here is that they're actually expanding their current market. So they're going to create a new BMW high-end SUV. So what they're doing is they're going to convert this plant over from what it's got right now and add another assembly line for the X7 car, which will add 150,000 cars per year and only 800 employees. So you're only actually going to have an influx of 800 rather than opening up a brand new plant like Boeing did in North Charleston. So it's going to be a little bit different scale. So I don't think you'll really have to deal with a whole bunch of people trying to vie for, like, Boeing jobs, which brought in, what, 10,000 jobs to North Charleston area?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit different, but yeah.
But the thing is that if they're already investing that much money, they're only going to expand. That's the concern, is that they're only going to get bigger. I mean, I knew that they already had an establishment up there, but the fact that they're investing $1 billion into this because they're wanting to create, you know, the new line, they're going to expand. It's going to get bigger, so they're going to need more jobs. And if the concern is that they're going to take the jobs from people who already have it elsewhere and bring them down here. That was my pick.
Or
which means
or possibly, people, or possibly employ people that are unemployed in South Carolina, especially not in the Charleston area, but outskirts of Charleston area. So like the Spartanburg.
Maybe.
I'm sure that I don't know what the unemployment rate is in the state of South Carolina.
I think it's 7.9. I think that was last time.
It's not the greatest. Not the greatest. It's not the worst. I'll try to figure it out now, but yeah, it's not horrible, but it's not very good. I mean, there's that whole corridor of shame, they call it, that is god awful. But as a state as a whole, I think it's not the worst, but it's nothing to toot our horn about.
Yeah, it could be better. It certainly could be better. Real quick, I know that we're kind of going dead for a lot of minutes and stuff. There's an article on Huffington Post, surprise, surprise, that this guy was dating this chick, and the chick told him that she was pregnant, and he got very excited, and she told him that it's not one baby, it's not two babies, but it's five babies. And he was a little kind of beside himself, but he says, you know, we're very happy. You know, this is going to be a really good thing. You know, I've been looking forward to have kids, period, period. Well, this chick is a big fat liar because she was never pregnant.
Cool. Mm.
So, yeah. The reason why I bring this up is two reasons. One, how could you do that to somebody that you quote-unquote love? And two, how do you make that belly grow if there's nothing in there? To which I read the article even further. So apparently, this chick is she's a little touched, if you know what I mean. She's a little touched. So she said that she was going to, she said that she had the children because she felt like she actually had the kids, but supposedly it's a psychological thing where it's called pseudocyesis, which is a condition where physical signs of pregnancy actually happen, but there's no actual pregnancy. So she was so involved and so enveloped in the fact that she was going to have not one, not two, not three, four, but we're going to have five kids. So her body started shape-shifting into, this is why I don't get women, because shit happens and it's not supposed to happen. She starts growing a baby, five babies, but there's nothing in there. There's probably hamburger and some french fries, but that's about it. But there's no pregnancy. She's now
really
going under. It's crazy. People are crazy.
I read that same article earlier this week. Her stomach actually did swell. She began lactating. I mean, she had, all the signs of pregnancy. I'm not going to even try to pronounce it, but it's a real diagnosis where, yeah, your brain and body, is convinced that you're pregnant, and it just reacts as such. It's really, really crazy.
Yeah, it's a real condition called bitch crazy.
No, bitch crazy-itis. You have to make it sound medical.
I can understand that, I believe that if you think about something long enough and hard enough that, you can start to really believe it yourself. But maybe one baby wouldn't be as ratchet as saying that you had five babies growing in you at one time. That takes ratchet to, a completely different level of ratchetness.
And you would think that this story must have happened in, we'll say, Florida. But surprisingly, it actually happened in Canada. When I was reading the story, I was like, all right, Florida, Alabama, maybe even South Carolina. Nope, it was actually Canada. That may have been more surprising to me than what was actually happening in that story.
South Carolina?
No, we have moms riding minivans into waters. We don't have fake pregnant moms. We actually have real pregnant moms that can't.
If it doesn't involve a meth lab, it didn't happen here.
There's a lot of truth to that.
There's a meth lab every day.
Yeah.
So people are just really messed up here.
A little bit. A little bit.
Well, you know, people are messed up everywhere. It's just different types of messed up. We have meth labs. Apparently Canadians have women who are fake pregnant. I mean, everybody's their own type of crazy.
Yeah, but there's a difference in being messed up and being messed up.
Ooh.
I agree. I agree. But I think this dude is still staying with this chick. Uh-uh. Nope.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to be a dad of five, and now I'm a dad of none, and you're going to a mental crazy place? Uh-uh. It's time for me to go on to Match.com, because this isn't working.
What? You mean if Matt has some kind of mental issue, obviously not the same one, you wouldn't stick with him, depending on how severe it was?
If he lied to me and tell me that you're going to give me five babies?
I don't know if she lied. I was reading the article. I don't think it ever said she lied. I think she was she actually believed she was pregnant.
Yeah, but you lied about how many babies. I can understand about having like a maybe, oh my God, I might be pregnant, but saying there's five of them?
Yeah.
Good point. She didn't actually, I didn't even think of that. Because the article never said that. It only made note that she was like, thought she was pregnant. Well, maybe that's part of it. Maybe, like,
even
you know,
if
people are depressed.
Even if it's just one baby, take a pregnancy test. Go see a doctor. Don't tell someone you're pregnant and then lie.
Yeah, you
exactly.
can't take a pregnancy test and tell you how many there
negative.
Are.
Yeah.
But
it's going
to
come back negative.
I said this before, but this is really sensitive. This has happened to me twice.
Ugh, yeah. She's crazy. It's time to go. Time to go.
Joking.
Time to go, not only once, not twice, not three or four times, but it's time for me to go five times. It's five times it's time for me to go.
Hashtag bye.
Nope. Exactly. Hashtag enjoy your straight jacket, bitch. Sorry. Sorry. That was one step too far. I'm very sorry about that. Very sorry. that was a lot of fun. So we're down to our last couple of minutes, and there's one thing I really want to touch on is I think we should do a fun would you rather.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I told Ryan that we're going to do would you rather. He started giggling. He was like, yes, I played that game before. So I think we should play real quick. So, Christian, you're really good at would you rather.
Oh, God. See, I wasn't even prepared for this again.
It was on the lineup that I sent you last week that we weren't able to do. So you had 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. We had a guest. I figured we weren't going to have time for these shenanigans.
Do it.
For shenanigans.
All right.
Our whole show's a shenanigan.
Yes.
You're a shenanigan. What's everything to say to me?
All right. Oh, wait, we already did that one.
You have
right.
a list?
Well, this is
people running lists?
This is kind of a dumb one, but this should be a quick answer, and then I'll find a good one.
Okay.
All right. Would you rather have $100,000 of real money or $1 million in Amazon gift cards?
Ooh.
I'm going to take the gift cards. You can get a lot of shit on Amazon.
True. Did they even spend $1 million on Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. I could.
What about you, Ryan?
I'm going to go with the gift card as well, because you can do everything on Amazon. Like you can even Amazon like temporary credit cards and like put a limit on it. So you can just put all that stuff on credit cards and just go crazy.
Very true. Okay. I didn't even think of that.
Versus,
you know,
you have
like,
an answer.
I'm gonna go with the Amazon gift cards just by the sheer fact that you can get like prepaid Visa cards. You could put it as a car payment. You can pay off utilities.
Yeah, laundering money.
All right,
money laundering.
I didn't realize that. Knowing that, yeah, I agree. All right.
I have to back up.
Right, here's the better one.
Hang on a second. We only got 30 seconds, and my statement is to Chris Burson. You have $1 million and you were about paying off your car and no.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to pay off all my debts first and then I'm going to go to Jamaica and you'll never see me.
As long as I get you every Thursday night at 9 o'clock, I'm good.
Possibly.
Thanks a lot. All right. All right. Well,
no,
I wouldn't
skip out on Rule Breakers.
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. It was awesome. I had a great time.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. You guys can find us next week, next Thursday at 9 o'clock. And without further ado, have a great night, guys.
Later.
Good night.
Boom.